This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
John 14, interesting concept. You're going to leave here different than you came. You're going to leave here better today. And I'll tell you why, because I think you're going to have a better understanding of this. You're going to have a better understanding collectively of us and a better understanding of who you are and what the goal is, what the objective is, what the mission is, what the cause is. In John 14 and verse 12, it says, most assuredly, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And if we stop there and we think, oh my gosh, I'm going to do what Jesus did. And it's interesting because then he says, but greater, he's going to do greater because I go to my Father. Okay, and I've got, of course, for 34 years of being in the Word, that word greater thing, greater, and the words greater things have been circled and highlighted and underlined numerous times. You know, when I think about it, I think about back years ago when somebody really witty and trendy kind of started that movement of WWJD, and people wore bracelets and there were billboards out there, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And then comedians and late night talk show hosts made it comedic about other what would someone else do? But what would Jesus do? And it kind of hit me. I thought, you know, that keeps things external. If we turn it around and bring it into a new covenant concept, a new creation, a new covenant concept of it. It's not so much what would Jesus do, it's what would you do with Jesus in you? That's how we have to look at it. What would a man do with God living on the inside of him? What would a man do with Jesus taking residency in him? Man, that's the real question. What would we do? And let me just tell you, there's the will of God, and then there's what we see and how we feel. It's two different things. What we see and how we feel is very factual. Okay, but the will of God's the truth. And what we have to do is we have to impose God's will on our circumstances. Has God promised health? Has God promised deliverance? Man, you guys in here that have addictions and things in your life, what if God's word just turns it into a bad habit that you can quit and you can stop? And you'll say, well, it's not that easy. What if it is? Man, you know, what did Jesus say about his yoke? What did Jesus say about his burden? He said it's easy and it's light because it can be. But you know what we have to do? We have to change our perspective. We have to look at it. We have to want, instead of sitting back saying, why is all this stuff happening? I'll tell you why, because the world's broken. The world's fallen and broken. It is shattered. And there's an enemy, the prince and the power of the air, the Antichrist, the devil. Man, that enemy, and what he because of the finished work of Christ, all he can do now is try to deceive you, try to lie to you, try to get you to believe something that's contrary to God's truth. That's Antichrist. But you know what Jesus said? The work that I do, you'll do, but greater because I go to my Father. See, what this is, it's a relay. What Jesus has done is Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead and he made himself real to me. And when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, he handed me the baton. And now you know what I've got to do? Paul said, I've got to run this race as one who wins. I remember when I was in high school, I had a dear friend that I ran around with, that I hung out with, that I caroused with, we drank, we smoked, all the other stuff, we fought, everything you do with your friend. And you're not a Christian. His family, they were lumberjacks. They worked out in the woods. Very, very, very crazy, tough people. And I saw his cousin slam his thumb in a tailgate and didn't change the expression on his face. I was like 14. I was like, he said, hey, kind of grunted. And the guy opened the tailgate. He went and got in his truck and I guess drove to the hospital or something. I don't know what he did, but these were those people. And the first time I remember, I went to his house. My dad, we were picking him up for football practice. I was like a kid, like a freshman or sophomore in high school before I had a license. And we go to his house and I go to his front door. And his front door was an Indian blanket that was nailed to the door jamb. That was his front door, and I knocked on the door. It's very tough people, you have to understand. And we became dear friends. He's attended the church a number of times. and has a great family up in St. Louis now and loves God. And I remember that we ran the mile relay. And you guys now, they call it the 4x400 or something flowery and poetic. It's the mile relay. Get over it. And we ran the mile relay. And the coach at practice said, okay, here's our strategy. And, you know, I'm listening. Because, you know, you're an athlete, and the coach tells you, I got to do what the coach, and the coach says, here's our strategy, and he explains the strategy of running the quarter mile, and again, the 400, and he's telling, and we went out to practice, and Larry said, Bill, and he actually said, Shear, we called each other by our last names back then, and he said, Shear, here's my strategy. You see that mark over there, the 220, and where they start the, when they ran just the 220, I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to run as hard as I can and as fast as I can until I get to that mark, and then I'm going to accelerate. I said, okay. You know, I'm like 15. I'm like, good. That's cool. He goes, that's what you should do. And I said, okay, that's great. And I'm telling you, in my mind, I can visualize Larry running that quarter. I can visualize that, man, he ran as hard as he could, and at that, and think about it. You're thinking, oh, that's impossible, yet it wasn't. I'm telling you, I saw him hit another gear. Man, he went from his top gear to another gear. You know, you'll talk about athletes, and they'll say, man, he's just got another gear. Man, he could just run away from people. There's people that have got clock speed, and then there's people that have game speed. And let me tell you, Larry had game speed, and he'd hit that 220 mark, and he would be running as hard as he could, and then he'd accelerate. Man, that's what God does for us. That's what this relay is. I'm telling you, you have the opportunity to touch someone's life today. You have the opportunity, as I do, to change someone's life. And one word from God, man, that pastor, right after I got saved, I'm hungover and feel terrible, and he looked at me and he pointed at me from that pulpit, and he said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know what happened? It supercharged me. See, we've all got our natural life and our natural abilities and what we naturally can do and how much money we naturally can make and how smart we naturally are. But then you know what God does? He comes in and takes residency on the inside of us. God lives right here. And now, you know what? Nothing about my life can be natural anymore. It has to be supernatural. Man, the supernatural nature of God lives in me. So we all hear verses like, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And it just sounds so poetic. And none of it's meant to be poetry. None of this is meant to be literature. It is all life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Man, that's what God's given us here. Man, this relay, the relay isn't so much me running this race, and at the end of my race with my dying breath, I'm going to hand the baton to somebody else, and they're going to be the successor to the work that I started. Let me just tell you, the whole legacy aspect of everything that you hear, especially in ministry, I don't buy into it. It isn't about making a name for ourselves. It's about making everyone around us better. This is a marriage message. It's about that God gave me a woman, and she is incredible. But he gave her to me to make her better. She makes me better. There's no completion in this. No, you know what? It's just that we're making each other better. God has given you children, offspring, as an inheritance. He's given those to you on loan. He's loaned us those children to make them better, to raise them up in his ways. And you know what? He'll cause that to come into effect in our lives. Then Jesus comes in verse 13, says, whatever you ask in my name, whatever. What? This is crazy talk. Like if you came in here and you're an atheist right now, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus. And here's what Jesus said in verse 13. In John 14, 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you're thinking, you promised to meet my need. You're going to do that because it glorifies God? Yes. You promised to heal my body. You're going to do that because it glorifies God? Yes. Whatever you ask. But you know what? We got too many dads. Too many dads that are sitting up awake at night, worrying, lighting another cigarette, wringing their fingers, wringing their wrists, wringing their hands, worrying about what's going to happen, instead of internalizing this and saying, the living King, the King of Kings, lives on the inside of me. That makes me greater. Whatever my situation is, whatever my circumstance is, I'm fixing to impose the will of God on it. Man, that's where we've got to be aggressive. We're aggressive about so many things in life, except for what we should be aggressive about. You know what we've got to do? We've got to be quick to throw God's word into the mix. Man, you run into Scott Houston, invariably, every time you talk to him, if you haven't seen him for a while, you know what he's going to ask you? What have you been reading in the word? Where have you been in the word? Tell me what the word's doing in your life. Man, there's somebody, I told a story at 9 o'clock about Joel. Every time I see Joel, I ask him one simple thing. What's God doing in your life? Every single time he has a response, and it always lifts me and makes me better. Man, if you're ever wondering when God's gonna come through in your life, just go ask Joel what God's doing in his life. And I'm telling you, this becomes amazing, but it's true. It's not designed to come into our lives and settle. Write that down. This is designed to be transferable. We have got to transfer this to people. This is a shipment, man. God's given me so much incredible revelation in his word. And it's like a shipment of revelation that God's given me that isn't for me to pack in my house and to build a warehouse for the revelation God's given me. No, you know what it is? It's to transfer to other people, transfer to other communities, transfer to other nations. Man, this is all transferable. That's what it's designed. Whatever you ask in my name. Jesus, look at verse 14. It gets crazier. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you memorize anything in God's word, memorize 14:14. You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Because you know what? You bring the name of Jesus, he's Lord of your life. You're not gonna be all selfish in what you ask for. Because if Jesus is Lord of your life and you're in covenant with God, man, you know what you're doing? You're dying to yourself. You're crucifying your flesh. Man, you're not always looking to get ahead. How can I get ahead? When am I going to get mine? Man, if you've got that ideology, if you have that kind of mentality, you really need to get saved. You really need to really give your life to Jesus. Man, turn to the book of Colossians. And here's what's interesting. Here's Paul, and let me just tell you, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's a big deal. Verse 24 in Colossians 1, it says, I now rejoice in my sufferings, listen, for you. You see that? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. He's not writing to a global group of people here. He's writing to the Colossians. He's writing to a local body of people just like you and me. Verse 25, of which I became, listen, a minister according to what? According to the stewardship from God. You see that? Which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And I've circled, listen, to fulfill the word of God is the objective. My objective in raising my son is for him is to fulfill the word of God. See, this is transferable. That's what this is about. He said, look, my sufferings, I fill up in my flesh the afflictions for your sake, for the church. See, and that's what we've got to look at. We've got to understand. So much of my vernacular has been wrong. Even in my mind, when I think about my ministry and building my ministry, making my ministry stronger, I want to be a stronger ministry. And it's not mine. What's in me is yours. Do you see what Paul's writing here? What's in you is for other people. That's why the Bible in marriage, that my body becomes Sandy, Sandy's body becomes mine. Why? Because now, you know what it does? It eliminates the selfishness that we were born in sin with. Man, it has to change our whole ideology. It has to change our whole mentality. Man, my ministry is not mine. It's yours. The ministry of God that he's doing in me is for you. God's given gifts unto men. First apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. See, man, a lot of you guys were raised in religion, and you're thinking that this guy right here, this personality right here, is who does the ministry. When you know what? My job, it's just like a coach's job. A coach isn't out there throwing blocks. Man, he gets a penalty if he throws a block. Man, the coaches out there aren't out there catching any passes, scoring any points, kicking any field goals. No, you know what? He's equipping the players to do it. That's the whole idea of the church, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry till we all come to the unity of the faith. How do we come into the unity of faith? All the lines are blurred. All the lines are erased. What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. It's communal. We all pool our giftings. Man, I'm telling you, you think about the lives that we can impact if we truly did that. Instead of being so territorial about it. Instead of thinking of it in terms that we possess any of it. Do you understand? We are stewards of this. Do you understand that? We have to act like we own it, yet we don't. Man, you walk by a piece of trash, it's a fireable offense in this church if you're on staff and you walk by a piece of trash. It's customary for you to see staff people with cigarette butts in their pockets. Why? Because you know what? We can't just let it go. We're going to act like owners. Man, we're not here renting a house. We're not here renting a building. This is your house. This is your building. This isn't my ministry. It's not. I'm just the trainer here. I'm just the coach here. This is your ministry. This is your church. Man, that's what you have to understand. See, we've done about all we can do thinking that this might be mine and Sandy's church. It's not. You're the owners. You're the proprietors. You're the decision makers. You know what you get to do? You get to figure out what your passion is. And then just put your hand to it. It's recess. You're passionate about tetherball? Get after it. You're passionate about kill the man with the ball? Get after it. See, that's what we have to understand. This whole thing, we and let me just tell you, that is the block wall that has to be, we have to keep hitting that wall. I'm just telling you, we have to keep hitting that wall. That wall has to come down sooner than later because lives depend upon it, because this is transferable. I'm just telling you, I'm committed to go quarter on you. I'm committed to run this first 220 as hard as I possibly can. And when I get to that tube, and you know what? There wasn't anything artistic about it. He got to the line on the track where they started the 220, and he hit another gear. I'm committed to do that. But guess what? It just becomes a novelty act then. Until people decide, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run as one who wins. I'm going to finish my race. And that baton, you know, I heard a story recently that there was a guy here that did business with a guy in town and kept inviting him to church. And he was inviting him to church, and the guy came a few times, and he loved it. And his wife really didn't really fit in, didn't feel like she did, didn't feel like there was a place for her here, and was really, you know, I think there were some inhibitions that were flaring up, and it was hard. She stopped coming, and then the man stopped coming, and the guy kept inviting him, and couldn't. And then somebody, listen, that because of some things in life, had fallen off track of church and had stopped coming to church for a while, ran into the guy who had visited the church with his wife a few times and then hadn't come back. They ran into each other. And one said, man, I hadn't been to church. The other guy said, man, I haven't either. And they both came back to church, and now they're back on top. And plus, the initial guy's wife now loves it. And you know, you think about the guy that did all the inviting early on. Man, he's the one that plowed the ground, and he's the one that, he was the icebreaker. It was like the thankless part of it. And then the guy comes in. And then, but then this other guy, who wasn't really a part of the church for a while, runs into this guy, and now they're both a part of the church, and they're celebrating, yippee. And because that's what it's about. Nothing that we do by ourselves, I'm just telling you, there's only one way we're better. Write this down. One way, together. That's the only way. Get your life right with God and quit thinking, when are things gonna line up for me? I'll tell you when things line up for you. When you start making this transferable and you start helping someone else be positioned to win. We are stewards. We are sojourners on this earth. We are aliens on this earth now. Here's what's interesting. We come in and say, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm an alien now of the earth, not of a country, of the planet. It's hard to get off this planet. So you're an alien. So now it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not accustomed for this. I've got to learn this whole new terrain that other people don't know. Why? Because we're citizens of heaven now. In verse 27 of Colossians 1, Paul writes and says, to them, God willed. Listen, to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the key. That's the key. That's where our fulfillment is. This isn't my ministry anymore. This is me to gain wisdom and revelation of who God is, of what his kingdom is all about, and you know what? And get it to as many people as I can. I'm not storing it up. Man, I'm getting rid of it as quick as I can. Man, I'm just hoping. Man, if this message of your stewardship, of this being your church, of you being the minister of this church, man, just think, if it cracks the armor of a dozen or 20 or 50 or 100 or 500 or whatever people, just think of what could happen. Because I dream of those days. Man, but it's all about equipping. It's all about training. It's all about that pliable heart of flesh that absorbs the kingdom of God. This is a relay race. We have to put our teammate in a position to win. I have to put Sandy in a position to win in my home. I have to put my children in a position to win. And let me just tell you, this is what I've realized. People in the core are winners. They just get a bunch of stuff jammed up on them that keeps them from winning. And you know what we do? We start peeling that stuff back by the truth. Next thing you know, people win and win every day. Look at just the people that are sitting around you. Think about them. Think about maybe an assignment on your life to help position them to win. You don't know what somebody's dealing with, because you know what? We know how to put on the happy face. We know how to play the game. Every one of us. A simple welcome. A question I like to use is, what can I do for you? It's uncomfortable and awkward for people, but it just may be that God will work for you. That's what I'm hoping. Man, I know most of you in here, your lives are right with God. But I want to ask you, what can we do for you? Is your life right with Jesus? I'm hoping there's a few people in here that need to get back on track, that need a fresh start, that need a new hand dealt to them, that need the newness of life that God offers through the Lordship of Jesus. If you're here today and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, Do you mind just putting your hand up, just acknowledging that just for me, I just want to pray with you and pray for you. Just put your hand up if you'll say, man, I need to get back on track with God. Just raise your hand. God bless you guys. Is there anybody else? You need a fresh start with God. Just raise your hand. Just wherever you are in the room, if you're watching on the internet, just raise your hand and give God a chance. Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Grab the hand of the person sitting next to you right now. Say this with me. Father God, I commit my life to you. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life and whom I trust. God, I thank you that my sin and my iniquity is cleansed, that I'm made whole, that my life's right with you, that I'm saved by grace through faith. I trust you, God, with everything in my life. God, I thank you. You make my crooked places straight. You're a light unto my path. God, I hear your voice, and another voice I won't follow, because my heart is alive unto you, God. God, I hear you, and I'll do it. God, speak to me clearly and definitively. God, it's my job. It's my work. It's our cause to win the world to Jesus. God, put us there. God, I thank you now. I win my race. In Jesus' name, I run as one who wins. It's no longer I who win, but Christ who wins in me. God, thank you so much for the great life you've given me. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell. And my life on this earth is like heaven. I call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Woohoo! Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, come on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.